It's the holidays. That means we're all stressed, we're all busy, we're overworked, or we don't get enough sleep. What to do with your partner before the end of the year? I read this article yesterday, and there was a great quote from a therapist. If you want to start the new year off right, it's time to make sure your relationship is in good shape. There are a few simple things you can do with your partner between now and the end of the year so you can start 2020 off strong. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to read this article, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to reconnect with my wife. Joining us is a licensed clinical marriage and family therapist. She has specialized in strengthening relationships for over 25 years. It's Risa Gannell. Risa, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm great, Pete. Thank you so much for having me, and I'm really looking forward to having all of your listeners strengthen their relationships in the new year.
God knows we all need it, don't we? I mean, we get busy this time of the year. We don't pay attention to each other. You don't get enough sleep, and you lash out.
Yeah, you lash out. You know, that stress just comes out in ways that can be pretty destructive to relationships if you don't pay attention to it, and if you don't keep it in check, and if you don't do all the things that we know are helpful in reducing stress.
Well, I read this article, and you said something in this article I thought was a great quote. Our brains are wired for stories, meaning they seek to create a beginning, middle, and end in every situation. This makes the end of the year, the end of one year and the beginning of another, a natural time to write the story of your relationship. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of this is based in brain science, so I wasn't just making that stuff up, right? Like, our brains seek to make sense of things, and one of the ways it does that is by creating a beginning, a middle, and an end. And so if you think about when you may have had an upset with your partner, and you think one thing happened, and they're saying something else happened, your brain is trying to figure out, well, what actually happened? What it was the beginning, what was the middle, and what was the end? And you have to reconcile that. And when it comes to the start of a new year and the end of an old year, it just is really the perfect time,
right,
to think about your relationship in that sense of a story. Like, what are you writing here? What's the next chapter? What chapter are you finishing? What were the kinds of things that you engaged in that went well, that you enjoyed together, and so on and so forth? So it's just, you know, actually, well, logically, you could do this at any time of year. It's just that at the end of a year and the start of a new year, it's just a good marker. It's just a good time to do this kind of thing.
Well, in the article, it says, according to Gannell, one thing you should do with your partner between now and January 1st is take time to review your year together. Find a quiet time in the middle of all the holiday craziness and take turns completing this sentence. Remember when we...
And
yeah. I floated the balloon to my wife, and she giggled and dismissed it. Now, I've been married. When did I get married? I've almost been married 20 years. I got married in 2001. Is that right?
All right.
19 years. Yeah, 19. I'm sorry, 18. It's tough after 15 years. Pete, how many years have you been married? You've been married three.
Three. Yep.
But you've been with your wife for how long?
Like 10 years.
10 years. Now, could you ever say, remember when we, let's write this down. What would she say?
No time.
Risa, that's the problem. I feel like people aren't taking each other seriously here. How do you get them to sit down and actually do it?
Well, first, kudos to you for stepping out and risking that vulnerability, right? Like, oftentimes, guys' biggest fear is being rejected.
Oh, I get rejected all the time. I'm used to it.
You know, that's lousy. And so, quite honestly, as wives or partners, when we see our partner reach out and express vulnerability in that way, like you did, we have to be receptive to it and not dismiss it. So, you know, it's both sides of the equation have to do their part to make things better and stronger.
Okay,
so kudos to you.
Well, how do I get her to take that next step and take me seriously? It's like, my wife's name is Sarah. I'm like, Sarah, let's just sit down and do this exercise. Will you do this for me? I guess I could try that. And she would probably say yes if I pressed her on it.
again, it means going back to her and saying, look, I know maybe this kind of came out of the blue because I don't usually do this kind of thing, but hey, I read this article and I thought it was a great idea and I really would appreciate it. It means a lot to me if you would go ahead and do this with me. It won't take long. Like, this isn't something that's going to, you don't have to sit down for hours here. We're talking 10, 15 minutes
okay.
at most.
See, in people's minds, it's you have to sit down for 2 hours. You have to go through an entire list. And by the way, I ask my wife to do this stuff all the time. She thinks I'm crazy. And I always like to go over, I'm a huge goal person. So at the beginning, at the end of the year, I like to write down all the goals for the new year. And in January, I like to go through them every week. And it drives my wife berserk. And as you get older and your marriage is, you know, it's, you know, 10 years, 15 years, you get to the 20-year mark, it's like, okay, I'm kind of sick of this. You go through it every single year. I've had enough of it. This is your thing. You can do it. I don't need to do it.
Yeah, she has a little fatigue there from your enthusiasm, it sounds like.
I'm like a puppy dog. I get on her lap and just try to get her to pet me. I just want attention. That's it. But the biggest problem right now, and correct me if I'm wrong, we're talking to Risa Gannell. She's a marriage and family therapist. Is the biggest problem in people's marriages communication?
Well, I'll tell you that that's the biggest reason they give for seeking couples counseling. But it's not necessarily the biggest reason or the primary reason for what's going on, but it's a great catch-all for what, you know, people describe when they're looking to come in for couples therapy. And I think that it really is more about feeling heard and understood and that their partner really gets them and that their needs are being met. And communication, well, that's how we reach those things, right?
Right.
And so people really feel like they're stumbling over each other and aren't being heard, aren't being understood. And it's usually a bit deeper than that, than communication. But if that's what gets you in the door, that's what gets you in the door, and I'm all for it.
Well, what do you find? You say that it's usually deeper than that. What have you found in your work? What is it usually? Lack of attention?
Well,
is it managing? I feel like managing expectations, those two words come up in my marriage all the time.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't really manage my expectations when we went to this party. I didn't realize that I'd be there until 11:30 at night and so-and-so would be there. Life, everything in life, I feel like, goes back to managing expectations. At work, at home, everything.
Well, it certainly is a big piece of it because when you have a certain expectation and that's not met and maybe you haven't communicated it to your partner, you're going to stumble over that.
Okay. Pete, let me ask you on the air. You don't have to answer if you don't want to, but the biggest problem, biggest hurdle, I would say, in your marriage, or the biggest challenge?
I guess if I'm going to look inward, as opposed to saying that my wife is just too busy scooping the litter.
Oh, shoot, I was going to blame my wife, but go ahead. Now I have to think of something about me, all right?
I am not very communicative.
Really?
And I need to work on that.
Risa, is that true for most men?
It's true for a lot of men. And there's sort of two levels to shut down guys, or guys who say they don't communicate or aren't communicative, like you're saying, Pete. And the first is when they know how they feel, but are comparing themselves, are censoring themselves because they know their spouse won't like it. And at the other level is when you don't know how you feel, and oftentimes that's because of the family you grew up in. There was no modeling of feelings.
Okay.
And often men are taught, or boys are taught, to not feel and to shut down their feelings. And below that also, for someone who doesn't know how he feels, it's often because of trauma.
How do you figure out how you feel? How do you figure that out?
Yeah, and that really takes, you know, with the help of a good therapist is often, you know, part of what would be helpful to figuring that out.
Okay.
Oftentimes people are so disconnected, not only from their feelings, but from their own bodies, that they don't make that connection. And so some of it is just starting to be mindful, starting to observe, starting to, you know, mindfulness is a big part of making things better in your relationships, right? Because first, you have to be connected to yourself.
Okay.
Or you can't be connected to somebody else.
How do we get there? How do we get to the point where we're connected to ourselves?
Well,
Am I going too deep here on the radio? Because I want to get to that starting point. There's people listening right now saying, okay, I'm a bad communicator. How do I get to that starting point?
So the next time you are in a situation where you're struggling to communicate, or your partner is saying, you know, you're not communicating enough with me, or I don't understand what's going on, then it's time to say, all right, let me stop. Let me think, and I'm going to get back to you. Let me inquire. For, you know, like, I can't answer you. I can't solve this. I can't address this until I really know what's going on.
Right.
So I'm going to take the time and space to do that. Then, in taking that time and space, it really means sitting and thinking and first starting with, okay, where do I feel this in my body? Does my chest get tight? Does my neck get tight? Do I feel something in the pit of my stomach? Things like that. First, notice it there. And then from there, move to, okay, so what does that mean to me? What does that feeling in the pit of my stomach mean? Well, maybe it means fear. Maybe it means worry. Maybe it means anger. And start to put words to what those physical feelings mean.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very basic place to start.
Okay, that makes sense. We just got a text in. We get text messages in throughout the show, also phone calls, 312-981-7200. On the phone with us is Risa Gunnell. She is a licensed clinical marriage and family therapist, 815 area code. If you think about it, it's after your combined goals are met. You have nothing to work together towards. You got married, you got a house, you had kids. Then people start to drift apart. That's a little true, wouldn't you say, Risa?
Yeah, it absolutely is true. You know, so oftentimes the couples that I see, especially those who are at the point of either almost launching their children or who are in the empty nest stage, really feel like their main purpose, their main mission, and right, so many couples, their main mission is to produce healthy, functional adults in 18 years and put out the best product they possibly can, right? And then they get to the end and they look at their partner and go, who the heck are you? I don't even know who you are anymore because we put all this energy into raising the kids.
That is so true. I laugh because I just had this conversation. My buddy said this to me, and I swear to you, it happened last week. He's got a son that's a junior in high school and a son that's a sophomore. He goes, I don't know what's going to happen when my boys go away to college because I don't really want to spend time with my wife. I go, well, yeah. You need to fix that, buddy. You need to work on
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it does mean reconnecting. It means really going back and exploring the things that they let go, that they lost, that they, you know, took all that energy and put it into the kids. And for those who are in the middle of child rearing at the younger ages, at elementary school and middle school, right?
Right.
They're probably running around all over the place with this soccer game and that gymnastics class and this taekwondo and whatever.
Right.
And their relationship gets put at the very last priority.
Right. How do we move that to the front of the line?
Yeah, you really have to. You have to carve it out. And it doesn't have to be elaborate. And if I hear one more person say go on a date night, I'm going to want I want to strangle them personally.
Well,
date night doesn't solve everything, right?
Well, I'm going to take a break, and I need for you to get me there. You at least have to give me 3 steps to get me there to reconnect with my wife, because we used to do date nights and they kind of fell to the wayside. And I brought that up last week to my wife. She's like, yeah, let's just, our son's a freshman in high school and he's going through his first final. She's like, let's just get through finals. Let's take it one week at a time. Okay. Let's live in the present. I'm like, okay. All right. That's cool. Risa Gunnell on the phone with us, marriage and family therapist. When we come back, you'll give us those 3 steps. So we can get there. And if people have questions, you can call us at 312-981-7200, or you can text us if you don't want to talk about it on the air. It's Pete McMurray in for Justin Kaufman, 720 WGN. I discovered an article yesterday, what to do with your partner before the end of the year, according to experts. And we have one of those experts from the article on the phone with us. She's a licensed clinical marriage and family therapist. It's Risa Gunnell. And before the break, we teased 3 steps to reconnect with your spouse. But before you answer that, Risa.
Yeah.
Is the number one thing people fight about in marriages, is that money? Is it usually money?
Money is really at the top of the list.
Okay.
It's a big one. And, you know, money has so many different layers to it. It means so much. to people, and people relate to money in so many different ways that are often in conflict with their partner. Money means power. Money means control. Yeah. Money means love.
Right.
You know, it means all kinds of things. So it's really about figuring out for yourself what the meaning of money is to you, and then being able to convey that meaning that you have with money to your partner in a way that gets to that below the surface stuff.
Okay. I'm getting text messages, by the way. Not all negative. 630 area code. Been together for 25 years. Happily together. So there's happily married people.
That's awesome.
Right. So give us the three steps before the end of the year to reconnect. Is the term reconnect okay? I know you don't like date night. Reconnect with your spouse or your loved one?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. You know, reconnection, because so many times people go to their corners, right, and put up walls. And stay behind those walls and don't take the risk to actually come out and truly be connected with one another. So, you know, if we're talking about before the end of the year, I really do recommend that you do this exercise with your partner, you know, that you were talking about before, that's mentioned in the article.
Okay.
Sit down and say, remember when? My husband and I did it on a beach a few months ago. And we had such a blast talking about, hey, remember when we did this? And he came up with something different than I did, things that I forgot. And it's so common for couples to sit down and talk when there's a problem. And that's why I want you to sit down and talk about positive things.
Right.
Right? Review, reminisce. It's so important to focus on those positive interactions. But don't hold it only to positive interactions. Talk about the struggles. Hey, remember when we had that argument about such and such, and I got really upset, and I stormed out of the room, and, you know, but we worked it out. We figured out, we've struggled our way through, but we made it, and here we are on the other side. That's true intimacy. Intimacy is not about only the good stuff. It's also about being in the mud with one another.
Right.
And slogging through the mud and getting to the other side.
But I've found, and maybe I'm wrong here, I've found that women like to talk things out to connect. They need to talk to connect. Guys need sex to connect.
So that's, you know, a real common perception about the differences between men and women. And it's certainly common and very true for some men and very true for some women.
Okay.
But again, it's about figuring out what is that meaning underneath sex that brings that connection to you? And what is the meaning about talking through everything that brings connection for each person, and understanding that so that you can provide that to each other?
Okay. So the first step is to do the exercise. Remember when we just go through the last year, and it doesn't see, as a guy, I think I have to sit down for 90 minutes and we have to go through this. It's a 10 minute exercise at the most, right?
Yes. I'm letting you all off the hook. It's not an hour. It's not an hour long session. Just 10, 15 minutes. And if it goes longer than that,
great.
You know, that's fine if you want it to. But it does not have to.
Okay, and we can do it at home, or we can go out to dinner and have some alone time if you have kids, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, is there anything else that we can supplement to get there?
To get to...
To reconnect with our partner before the end of the year.
Okay, so I want to give you a concept. So it may not be a specific action, but this is how I want you to think about your relationship. You know how everybody talks about self-esteem? And self-esteem is holding yourself in warm regard, flaws and all, right? Like that you recognize I'm a good person.
Yep.
Yeah, I have my flaws, but I'm a good person. I want you to think about relationship esteem, which is holding the relationship in warm regard, flaws and all. You're not above your partner. You're not better than. Your way of doing things is not better than. You're not below your partner. You're not, the way you do things is not less than. You're both flawed human beings in this together, and you want to work on being a team. So everything you do should come from that place of holding your relationship in warm regard, having relationship esteem. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. Absolutely it does.
You know, my supervisor and mentor, Esther Perel, talks about how the quality of our relationships determines the quality of our lives. And I can't emphasize that enough. that this is the kind of work that at a micro level between couples within relationships mm-hmm. can change the world.
Wow. Risa, where can people find you? What's your website?
My website is togethercouplescounseling.com. You can find me there. You can find me on Instagram at Together Couples Counseling, on Facebook as well, Together Couples Counseling. And I do have a podcast called Stronger Together with Risa Gonnell.
Boy, I love this. I love all of it. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It made a lot of sense. And I did take notes. Pete was staring at me. I have a page of notes. I'm going to present it to my wife tomorrow. And I will report back to you. We'll have you back on the show after the first of the year. How's that?
I would love that.
And we'll talk about this. And if people need more help, you're here to help. Risa Gonnell, thank you so much. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Pete.
All right. News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It is 720 WGN.